Narai Chaiba Narutangam Devim Sarasati Vyasham Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nasa Pariswa Bhadresu Nitya Bhagavata Sivaya Bhagavatyutamasloke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtike Vedi Ramani Chaiva Purane Bharati Tata Hadvanchi Madhiche Hari Savata Giyate Mokam Karativa Chalam Fangu Langache Gri Yakripataham Vande Sri Guru Dinatadine Paramananda Madhavan Dhamma Prajita Katavota Paramodhi Masham Satan Vedan Vastavam Atavastu Svaran Tapatoya Mulanam Sima Bhagavati Mahamune Kitenki Vaya Para Ishvara Sadhyo Riti Avarujitri Kitvita Kishanam Atojam Brahma Sutranam Bharatata Vajinaya Gayati Bhasa Rupasa Vedata Paribhimita Savabhidanti Asanam Saran Saran Paribhimita Savabhidanta Sarahesri Bhagavata Mishyate Tasya Mitasya Titasya Nayatasya Rati Kuchit Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So, this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam First, sixth canto, chapter 5, text 21. Look, first of all, I'd like to offer my humble respect to all the senior Vaishnavas who are here this morning. So you can kindly grant me your benediction so that I can say something worthwhile. Hare Krishna. So this is the discussion of the sons of Daksha Ayashvas, who were instructed by Narada Muni. So text 21. Iti Vyavasita Rajan Ayashva Eka Chetasaha Prayayus Tam Parikramya Pantanam Anivatanam Iti Vyavasita Rajam Ayashva Eka Chetasaha Raya yustam parikramya Pantanam anivatanam Iti vyavasita rajan Ayashva ikachitasa Raya yustam parikramya Pantanam anivatanam Iti vyavasita rajan Ayashva ikachetasa Raya yustam parikramya Pantanam anivatanam
Thank you.
liturgies. Being fully convinced by the instructions of Narada Muni, Rajan, O King, Ayaswa, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, Ekachetasam, all being of the same opinion, Prayayu, left, turn, Narada Muni, Parikramya, circumambulating, Pantanam, on the path, Anivartanam, which does not bring one back again to this material world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Sukadev Goswami continued, my dear King, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Ayaswas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world. Purport. From this verse, we can understand the meaning of initiation and the duties of a disciple and spiritual master. The spiritual master never instructs his disciple, take a mantra from me, pay me some money, and by practicing this yoga system, you will become very expert in materialistic life. This is not the duty of a spiritual master. Rather, the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to give up materialistic life. And the disciple's duty is to assimilate his instructions and ultimately follow the path back home, back to Godhead, from whence no one returns to this material world. After hearing the instructions of Narada Muni, the Ayaswas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, decided not to be entangled in materialistic life by begetting hundreds of children and having to take care of them. This would have been unnecessarily entangling. The Ayaswas did not consider pious and impious activities. Their materialistic father had instructed them to increase the population, but because of the words of Narada Muni, they could not heed that instruction. Narada Muni, as their spiritual master, gave them the sastric instructions that they should give up this material world, and as bona fide disciples, they followed his instructions. One should not endeavor to wander to different planetary systems within this universe, for even if one goes to the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, one must return again. Kinye ponye matya loka vishanti. The endeavors of karmis are a useless waste of time. One should endeavor to return home, back to Godhead. This is the perfection of life. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Abrahma bhuvana lokaha puna avartina arjuna mam upetya tukanteya puna jamana vidyate. from the highest planets in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attends to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Gurave Gurachandraya, Radhikaya Tadalaya, Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tabataya Namo Namaha, Agyana Trimindasya Ganangana Shalakaya, Chaksas Mita Yena Tasmasi Gurave Namaha, Vancha Kabatrubya Sakribasim Vecha, Parita Nampo Nabi Vashnabya Namo Namaha. Iti Bevajita Rajan, Ayashwa Ikachetasa, Prayayu Stan Parikamya, Pantanam Anibhatanam. Sukadev Goswami continued, my dear king, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Ayashwas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world. So this chapter is very interesting. It's a very interesting chapter, of course, because we have a situation whereby Narada Muni instructed the 10,000 sons of Daksha, Prajapati Daksha. Lord Brahma, at the beginning of creation, he, being the creator, so he manifested many great sages. They are said to come from his mind, great sages that whom he manifested from his mind. After all, he was given the duty to create or to engineer this universe. So Brahmaji, he manifested many great sages. Among them was Daksha and also Narada Muni. So each of them, of course, had different duty to perform. Daksha, his duty was to populate the universe. Prajapati means the progenitor. So it's called Prajapati Daksha. It's the progenitor. So his duty was to populate the universe. After all, this is what Lord Brahma wanted. So he did that from his wife. He begot 10,000 sons. On the other hand, Narada Muni, who also was the son of Brahma, his duty was to take people out of the material world. So they both have to do their duty. One is bringing people into the material world by, you know, giving the progeny and all that. Another person is taking people out of the material world. So don't waste your time here. So this is exactly what we are finding in this chapter, by which, of course, there's going to be a big fight between Narada Muni and Daksha. So they're very interesting chapter, actually. So when we read from the beginning of this chapter, when the Ayashvas, they were given instruction by their father to go and populate the universe, to go and produce children so that the universe can be populated. So following their father's instructions, so they went to a very sacred place, at a holy river. And that holy river, so many saintly people, where they always congregated, which means they are all engaged in meditation on the Supreme Lord. So by the Ayasha, by themselves meditating, performing so many austerities, so they were also associated, they get association of so many sadhus, of so many saintly people. And also the you know, they drink the holy water. So because of all these things, association with the saintly persons, and also taking advantage of the place of pilgrimage, which is the where the holy river is flowing, so their heart become purified. They actually become purified, which means they have become pure from material contamination. So in this stage, Narada Muni appeared to them. He said, my dear sons of Daksha, you have not properly understand the instruction of your father. So because you have not properly understand the instructions of your father, so you want to go and engage yourself in the affairs of producing children. So you have not really understand the instruction of your father, because you are thinking that your father told you that you should go and produce children so that the universe can be populated. Now, normally the guru, this text, and also the purport which Srila Prabhupada gave, actually give us a hint of Guru Tattva. The Guru Tattva, the concept of Guru, you know, it's, and of course, it's even though the purport itself is relatively short, but it's full of deep meaning of what it is, what is actually spiritual life, what is the meaning of spiritual life, and how the spiritual life is actually executed. Basically, spiritual life is based on the interaction between Guru and the disciples. Because we come to spiritual life, if there's no Guru, spiritual life has no meaning, basically. And Guru has to, normally before a Guru takes on a disciple, the Guru must first examine if the disciple is properly suited or not, is properly qualified or not. So which means the Guru must be an expert person. Normally when we say Guru, it means a Sadguru, which is the person who is very, very expert, and he can assess a disciple's suitability for spiritual instructions. So obviously, because Narada Muni knows that the Ajastras, they were suited, they are qualified to receive spiritual message, because they become purified. So therefore, he gave them instructions. So we have many, many persons in the history by which, through the Guru's assessment, then they become either the candidate for spiritual life, or they were not candidate for spiritual instructions. We had the case of Saptakama. Saptakama, he was the son of a prostitute, Jabala. So Saptakama was a young boy. He was a young boy. And Saptakama was, he saw that so many, many of his friends, they've all gone to Gurukul. They've gone to Gurukul. So he also decided to go to Gurukul. He also decided to go and approach a guru so that he wants to become, you know, spiritually qualified. He wants to receive spiritual instructions. So Saptakama went to Gautam Muni, because Gautam Muni, he had, you know, he had a Gurukul. Just like in Mayapur, we have Bhaktivedanta Pranam Maharaj, he had a Gurukul, and we have so many Gurukulis here, you know. So the same way, so Saptakama went to Gautam Muni, and Gautam Muni asked him that, what is your Gotra? What is your Gotra? What is your father? Tell me, who are you? Who is your father? So the boy said, well, I don't know. He said, I don't know who my father is. And then Gautam Muni said, okay, you go and ask your mother. After all, who's the first guru? Is the mother. You know, if you want to know who's your father, you go and ask your mother. It's the mother that can tell who your father is, correct? So Saptakam, he went to his mother and asked, my dear mother, who is my father? What gotra do I belong to? So Jabala said, I don't know, because after all, I have union with so many, many men. So one of them must have produced you. So I really don't know who your father is. So Sata Kaman then went back to Gotamani. He said, well, I asked my father, I asked my mother, she doesn't know who my mother is and who my father is. So when Gotamani, when he heard this, he said, oh, this boy is truthful. This boy is truthful. Normally, and that's one of the main, that's the main quality of a Brahmana, truthfulness. So this boy is truthful, so therefore, he is qualified to receive spiritual instruction. So then, so he admitted him to his ashram. Because the boy was truthful. You know, so which is main, the main criteria, the main qualification for, you know, to receive spiritual instruction. So therefore, the guru was able to assess the disciple's qualification. And then on the other hand, we have someone like Kana. Kana was the son of Kunti. We all know who Kana was. The son of Kunti. And so Kana, he wanted to, he wanted to be trained by Parasuram. He wanted to be trained by Parasuram. So he went to Parasuram, said that, I want to be trained by you. I want to receive instruction about Dhanuveda, about the spiritual warfare in terms of how to become a Kshatriya. I mean, not Kshatriya, but you want to get the proper instruction from Parasuram. So Parasuram asked him that, what Varna do you belong to? He said, oh, I'm a Brahmana. Even though because Kana knows that Parasuram will only teach Brahmanas. He will not teach Kshatriyas or any other Varnas, except. So Kana said, oh, I am a Brahmana. So basically he lied to the guru. But because he told Parasuram that he's a Brahmana, so Parasuram decided to give him training. So he taught him very well, and Kana became very expert. And then there was one time when his guru, Parasuram, he was lying on the lap of Kana, lying on his lap. And so the guru, he has his head on the lap of Kana. And then one time, when an insect came crawling to Kana's thigh. It's a very sharp insect. And this insect was eating to the flesh of Kana. He was eating to his flesh, but Kana, he did not want to disturb his guru because the guru was sleeping. And even though the insect was tearing into his flesh and the blood was coming out, but still Kana did not want to disturb his guru. So, and then Parashuram wake up. When he woke up, he saw the blood. He said, what is this? Kana said, oh, well, he said, an insect came, was eating to my skin, but I did not want to disturb you. So Parasuram said, oh, really? How can you tolerate such a thing? You're supposed to be a Brahmana, and you tolerate such a thing? Normally, the Brahmanas don't have such tolerance. It's only the Kshatriyas who have such tolerance. So therefore, you have lied to me, so therefore I curse you that the time will come when you will most need the mantra, that time you will forget. The particular mantra. That time will come. So therefore, Kana, he did not get the mercy of the guru. He was cursed. So that is one thing. And then, we have another situation. Ekalavya. Ekalavya was born from the low class. Ekalavya. Low caste. But he had a very strong body. So Ekalavya, he wanted to be taught by Dronacharya, because Dronacharya was the guru of the Pandavas and he was the guru of the Kurus. So he wanted to be taught by Dronacharya. So Ekalavya went to Dronacharya, said that, I want to be trained by you. But Dronacharya said, no, I will not give you training because you belong to a low caste. You will not receive training. So Ekalavya left. And then, because there is in the very scriptures it says Acharya Devo Bhava. Acharya Devo Bhava, that Acharya is a guru, is as good as God. So which means by the worship of guru one can actually attain all perfections. So Ekalavya, he went to the forest and he made up a multi of Dronacharya, and with that multi he was worshipping. He was worshipping the Dronacharya, and then by doing that he was learning the art of archery. He was learning, and then because of that worship of Dronacharya, he became the most expert. And he was so expert, even he could even defeat Arjuna. That's how expert he was. So there was one time when the Kurus, they were wandering in the forest. And as they were wandering in the forest, they saw a dog barking. So the dog was barking. And then all of a sudden, they saw this man. He was shooting the arrow to the mouth of the dog. So much so that the dog's mouth was filled up. He could not open his, he could not bark anymore. He did not hurt the mouth, he did not hurt the dog, but he was able to fill up the mouth of the dog with the shooting of his arrow. So the Kauravas, they were wondering, who is this person, who is that, who can do this? And they discovered that it was Ekalavya. So they went to, so Arjuna, he went to his guru, Dronacharya. I thought that you have told me that I'll be the most expert archer, the most expert archer. How come you are giving someone a training that way? How come someone has become more expert than me? So Dronacharya said, no, I did not give anybody such training. So show me. And then, so the Kauravas, so they led Dronacharya to where Ekalavya was staying. And then when he saw Dronacharya, he came and worshipped his guru. So when Dronacharya saw him, he said, oh, so you've learned the art of archery by worshipping my image. And then of course he asked him for a guru dakshin. Actually, what so happened that Ekalavya, he tried to again instruction in the form of in the way of cheating. He said, oh, because even though the guru said, no, I'm not going to give you training, some other, he has to get it by all means. So that's a cheating process. You know, so which means spiritual life is not based on cheating the guru. Spiritual life is based on pleasing the guru. When Krishna says, it's a time with the paripadina, paripashana sevaya, so that once you approach a guru, and once you render service to the guru, you know, and then with humility, and if the guru is pleased, then the guru gives instruction, but not by the way of cheating, which Ekalavya tried to do. There's one particular article written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, whereby he talked deeply about this, that how one should not try to cheat the guru, which is what Ekalavya was trying to do. And we have to know, why is it that Dronacharya refused to train Ekalavya? Because Ekalavya happened to be a demon. He belonged to the demonic society. So eventually he was killed by Krishna. On the other way, Dhrishtadyumna, who was also been given the training to Dronacharya to be trained. Now, Dronacharya knew, because Dhrishtadyumna was born for the purpose of killing Dronacharya. Dhrishtadyumna was the son of Draupadi. So he was born for the purpose of killing Dronacharya. So when Dhrishtadyumna was taken to him by Draupadi, that give my son a training. So Dronacharya, he accepted him. Why did he accept him? Because he knew that Dhrishtadyumna will be fighting on the side of Dharma. He'll be fighting on the side of the righteousness. So therefore, even though he knew that the Dhrishtadyumna was actually eventually killing, but still he gave him the specific training. So in this way, sometimes the guru tutor, sometimes it becomes a very complex affair sometimes. But coming back to this point here that we've been talking about, whereby the Ayashvas, their guru, he gave them instructions. And he gave them instruction in the form of allegory. He only, you know, this is which we said in the beginning of this verse. So by instructing them in the form of allegory, and then by meditating on that particular instructions, so the Ayashwas, they're able to understand the meaning of what their guru had taught them. Especially, it's a key masala cannot be believed that what is the value of all these things? Going to the world, producing children, and then after all, what is the value? What is the means of all this, materialistic endeavor? And when Narada Muni, when he told them that you have not understood the instruction of your father. Now, what father does Narada Muni referring to? He was not referring to Daksha. After all, in this material world we are born, we take birth in our materialistic father, who give us, by the combination of a man and a woman, then a child is produced. But when one takes spiritual initiation from the guru, and then the guru instructs one in sastra, in the scriptures. So the sastra is actually the father. The scripture is actually the real father. Because with one take, dvija means taking the second birth. Now, what the scripture is teaching? What is the actual purpose of the sastra? This material world is an asset. It's a place of darkness. But Shastra is saying, what Shastra is saying, you know, a subtle man means, why you keep wasting your time in this dark, in this useless place? He said, Asato man, Jyoti Gamaya, come to light. Come to life of eternity. Asato man, Jyoti Gamaya. Stop this uselessness of trying to be something in the material world. Because, first of all, this material world, everything is temporary. The so-called pleasure is all temporary. There's not really, we think that there is pleasure, but what is the pleasure? In the middle of so-called pleasure is also the tapatraya, all the threefold miseries of material nature. The threefold miseries is there. So what is the pleasure? Whereas, once you look after joy, the joy that comes from the soul proper, after all, what is the soul? The soul is Ananda Mayu Biasa. The soul is eternally joyful. But the soul is not joyful as long as, you know, one is trying to stay in this materialistic existence. So that joy is not there. So therefore, the sastra is saying, Asato man, Jyoti Gamaya, come to light. And this is what the guru is teaching. So having heard from their spiritual master, Narada Muni, having heard from him, so the Ayashwas, they understood this. And they became fully convinced by the instruction of Narada Muni. It is Vyavashitam Rajan. It is Vyavashitam means they were fully convinced. Not just when we say conviction, it's Ekachetasa, which means all of them, there are 10,000 of them, by the influence of Narada Muni, all of them, they were deeply convinced within their heart. So which means with their heart, they are fully understood whatever Narada Muni taught them. They fully understand that. And then, it's mentioned here, prayayustam prikamya, pantanam anivatanam. So, parikamya, which means they worship their guru, Narada Muni. They worship the guru because they fully understood his instructions. Those they worship him, they wash his lotus feet with water, and they drink that water which had washed his feet. This comes from after the messenger Pantana and Vato, which means that they took to that path whereby one never turns one back again. They took to that path whereby one having once go, never one never turns one back. So basically, if one accepts a spiritual master, a Sadguru, so which means that one will never again goes back to one materialistic way of life. Because it's not that we come to spiritual life, we come to Christian consciousness, and then we, okay, accept a guru. But what does it mean to accept a guru? Accepting a guru is not a fashion statement. It's not that, he's the guru, I want to be his disciple. And anybody asks me, who's your spiritual master? Who is my spiritual master? The so-and-so is my spiritual master. So it has become a fashion thing, fashion statement. The acceptance of disciple of guruship is not a question of fashion. It's actually a matter of seriousness. When we start pranam, we say Namahum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale. Nama means, what is Nama? Nama means not me, not mine. Nama, ma means mine, na means not mine. This body do not, once we accept the shirt of a guru, the body no longer become ours. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met his guru in Gaya, Ishwarpuri, what did he say? He said, my dear Lord, I've completely given it to you. This body become your property from today. This is how the spiritual life goes. In Prem Bhatti Chandrika, Srila Narottama Das Thakur, he had sung, Siguru Charana Padma Kebala Bokoti Sadma Bandomui Sabadana Mate Jara Prasade Bhavatoriyaja Krishna Prati Oja Hoite. So, the feet of the Guru are the abode of devotional service. So therefore, I bow down to that lotus feet. So therefore, my dear brother, it is through the grace of the spiritual master that we cross over this material existence and obtain Krishna. Krishna prapti means to obtain Krishna. Bhava means Bhava Toriya Jaya, which we cross the ocean of material existence and then obtain Krishna. Because why? Because Krishna is on the other side of the ocean of material, is on the other side. So that person takes us across the ocean. And that person is Guru, is Sadguru. And then once he takes us over, he takes us across the ocean, and then we can attain Krishna. So therefore, it's saying that I worship that lotus feet of that Guru. So in this comment on this particular, on this prayer, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, he said, it is impossible to achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord or devotional service without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Therefore, in order to enter the temple of devotional service, one must first take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Hence, Srila Narottama Das Thakur is offering his prayers to the spiritual master. The word Sri Guru means the spiritual master with all spiritual opulence. The spiritual master is endowed with the potency to deliver his disciples from the grip of nations and take them to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. In other words, the spiritual master is the treasury of loving devotional service. The words Sri Guru Charana Padma do not only mean the lotus feet of the spiritual master, but the word Charana is used here for respect. Just as we say Sridhar Swami or Sri Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, like that. Sri, when we say Sri, Sri means that person who is the confidential associate of the Lord. He's a counterpart, or he's a confidential associate, servant of Srimati Radharani. Just like in the morning also, we also say, Sri Radhika Madhurya Para, so like that. So the word Padma indicates that the spiritual master is the embodiment of love for Sri Krishna and full of transcendental sweetness. It is also understood that just as the lotus flower is relished by the bumblebees, similarly, the sweet mercy of the spiritual master is relished by the devotees. Such a spiritual master is known as Kevala Bhakti Sadma, the only shelter of unalloyed devotional service. So, and of course, when we say Kevala Bhakti, of course, means pure devotional service. And when Kevala Bhakti, when it's described by Srila Rupa Goswami, he said, I am Bilasita Sonya, Gyana Kamadhyana Vritam, Anu Kuyana Krishna Nusalana Bhakti Uttama. This is Uttam Bhakti, or Kevala Bhakti, or pure Bhakti. That pure Bhakti is that which is free from speculation, is free from Gyan Karma, the desire to enjoy materialistic pleasure. So, when that pure service is meant only to give pleasure to Krishna, Krishna Nudisilanam, is meant to give pleasure to Krishna, that is satisfying. This is what the Guru teaches. The Guru is giving us Kevala Bhakti. The Sadguru is teaching that pure devotional service by which one can attain Krishna. So therefore, such Guru is so his lotus feet is comparable to a bumblebee, Padma, the lotus flower. You know, lotus flower is the best of all the flower. So I want one want to relish that the bumblebee want to relish the taste of the lotus flower. So therefore, when the feet of the spiritual master is worshipped, then one attain bhakti, Krishna prapti. When Krishna attained, when there is a worship of the spiritual master. So there are many other teachings by which is here, because so many different acharyas, before giving these instructions. Like Prasila Prabhupada mentioned here in the purport, he said, after hearing the instructions of Ayashras, the sons of Prajapati Daksha decided not to be entangled in materialistic life by begetting hundreds of children and having to take care of them. So this would have been unnecessarily entangling. So which means the Ayashra, this is what it means to having accepted the shelter of a guru. Because if you are fortunate enough to come across a sadguru, a bona fide spiritual master, if you are fortunate enough and we come across that guru, then his instruction must be followed. His instruction is how to become situated in the loving devotion service unto the Lord. But if he's simply thinking that approaching a guru means to enhance our materialistic pursuit, that which means we have not taken shelter of the guru, we have not taken shelter, it means we have not heard from the guru. So this is the sum and substance of this verse. There's a much more work that can be discussed in this purport, and especially as you read through this chapter, you know, you come across so many wonderful points of Naramuni after convincing the sons of Daksha. And Daksha, of course, he became very, very angry. He became so angry with Naramuni that he decided to curse him, because Daksha thought that he's much more elevated than Naramuni. So this is a very nice, beautiful chapter. And also it provides the essence of spiritual life. It gives us the hint into the essence of the spiritual life. So I'm going to stop here. If there's any question or comment. Some comment to this verse? Hare Krishna.
I was just going to ask, in the case of Ekalavya, of course that pastime is really deep, so it's...
Yeah, very deep.
But you made the point that he wasn't going to teach Ekalavya because Ekalavya was born as a tribal and therefore considered low class, and so he wasn't going to teach him. And then you said that Ekalavya, you know, at least Dronacharya could tell that Ekalavya was a little demoniac. Mm-hmm. So my question would, then I always think of that, and then I would think, well, then why did he teach without any reservation? He taught Duryodhana, who was really demoniac.
Yeah.
So then the question comes up to mind, then, so how much should birth be considered? You know, in other words, it seems that the consideration of Dronacharya was based on birth.
Yeah.
And he was willing to teach a real demoniac man who happened to be born as a Kshatriya.
Yeah.
And it seems like he wasn't willing to teach a real noble man who was born as a tribal. So can you maybe say something about that or whatever?
Yes, it's good question. Duryodhana, of course, he was envious of the Vaishnav, the Pandavas. And Duryodhana, yes, as you said, he wasn't entirely demoniac. He was not entirely demoniac. Because he was never envious of the Brahmanas. He was never inimical to the Brahmanas. He actually worshipped the Brahmanas. So that's the main thing. His fault was that he was envious of the Pandavas. That's his fault. In the beginning of Mahabharata, that Dronacharya, Duryodhana was considered to be the I think the incarnation of Kali or something like that. I remember that. So in this way, Duryodhana, if you read the Mahabharata, that the Kurus, this is the desire of Bhishmadev, that the Kurus should be taught by Dronacharya, like that. So Dronacharya, he knows the everything, of course, the this is all the plan of the Lord, this is the Lord's plan. We can go into deep into all these things. This is Lord's plan, of course, in terms of the core of us. But Ekalavya, he was specifically inimical to the Brahmanas. He was. That's why Krishna killed him. Krishna personally killed Ekalavya because he was inimical to the Brahmanas. He was offensive to the Brahmanas. Yeah, that's why he was killed by Krishna himself. You know. So, you know, like that. Yes.
Thank you very much. Another thought that comes to mind, it lends to the question, why did Duryodhana or Grandfather Bhishma in the first place allow their bread to be buttered by what's the father's name? Duryodhana's father. Dhritarashtra in a course to Duryodhana as such. If that comes up later on, both of them admitted we shouldn't have, but they did, so it would be kind of hard not to teach the son of Dhritarashtra when they had accepted their sustenance from him.
Yeah. And of course, just as I mentioned also on... Oh.
That's a nice point.
But then that gets to the point of it's who you know. And it's... it gets into a... You know. In other words, Dronacharya was willing to teach Dhritarashtra because he was being maintained by Dhritarashtra. So then that gets into a whole other discussion.
Yeah, I mean... That's one thing.
Charya was willing to teach Duryodhana because he was being maintained by Bhishma and Dhritarashtra. So,
yeah, that is true. That's one point. But at the same time, also he also gave the teaching the same thing to Dhritarashtra. He was not even Dhritarashtra. I mean, Draupadi was very inimical to Dronacharya, and both of them fought together. And then, of course, he was defeated by Draupadi was defeated by Dronacharya, by which he has to produce a son that can kill a Dronacharya, that can kill a Dronacharya. In this case, Dhritarashtra. So when Draupadi went to him, he said, "I want to give training to my son, give him training." So and Dronacharya knew quite well that this boy has been born to kill me. He knew that, but. He's a Brahmana himself, So he could not refuse. He could not refuse the request by Drupa. He could not refuse. So he accepted the Disturbed Dream as his disciple. And at the same time, also knew that this boy also, he has a role to play in the future, because he's going to be on the part of the Dharma, the Pandavas. So in this case, so he accepted to train in a Disturbed Dream also. So we can see it's like swinging, it's like a pendulum, one way, from one side to another side. Like that. But at the same time, but in the case of Ekalavya, he specifically refused to teach him, because he knew his mentality. So in his mentality, he said, no, I will not give you training. And of course, Ekalavya tried to teach the guru, he tried to cheat. You know, of course, he was not successful by that. So he was eventually killed by Krishna. So we should not try to cheat the guru. So which means, want to be a disciple, we should not try to be like Ekalavya. We should try to be like the Pandavas, Arjun. Like that. Okay.
I just want to say that if you're killed by Krishna, boy, if I can do that
blessing. Yeah, that'd be good, of course, yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice. You know, just like sometimes Narada Muni will be glorifying the demons. Because the demons, they always think of Krishna, and then they were killed by Krishna. He said, oh, I wish I could be like them. Sometimes, you know. But we are not, I don't think, we don't even have such power. So we can't even try to be like those demons. We don't even have such power, you know. So we should just, you know, try to be the servant of Prabhupada is much easier than try to be a demon. Because we don't have such power which those demons which they have those days. Okay. Any other point? Yes.
A wonderful class. You mentioned how one should be always truthful to the spiritual master, because otherwise one won't obtain his mercy. So what one must do if he's not honest with him?
If
one is not honest, you know, he's not been honest with his spiritual master.
Yeah.
Then what must one do to?
Yeah, if one is not honest, then one will not get the mercy. The mercy will not be there.
So what, yeah. If he's not been honest, how can he be forgiven by his spiritual master?
I mean, the mess will not be there, and the consequence is always not pleasurable. Just like Ekalavya had to leave, he lost his thumb, and that when he was asked for the Guru Dakshin. And then, of course, his consequence was not so good. If one does not, is one tried to cheat the Guru, the consequence is not good. One will not attain the ultimate goal of life. And so ultimate goal of life will not be attainable. You know? Krishna Bhava Toriya Jai, Krishna Prati, Ebhava Toriya means crossing over the ocean of material existence, and then Krishna Prati, obtaining Krishna. That will not be possible if one is not truthful to the Guru, if one tries to cheat the Guru. And also ultimately also, one will be cheated, actually. Because if we think that we can cheat the gurus, but we will actually the one who will get cheated, not the guru. So many people try to do that. Like when people said, okay, let me accept the spiritual master, because it's like a fashion statement. One will never attain anything. There'll be no advancement that way. Okay, Prabhu. It's possible, yeah, that's possible. After all, the Vaishnavas, they're always merciful, but the submissive surrender must be there, sranagati. Submission must be there with humility, you know, all these things, sranagati, humility, all these things must be there. Then the guru will become very pleased, and then will accept. That's possible, you know. When Vallabhacharya was, you know, when he went to Mahaprabhu in Puri, he said that I've composed a commentary to Bhagavatam. I've composed a commentary of Bhagavatam without, and I've done something without the, I've not accepted Sridhar Swami. So my Prabhupada said, anyone who does not accept his Swami is a prostitute. Sridhar Swami is Jagat Guru. How can you not accept the Guru? How can you not accept whatever ideas he has? So if you do that, then whatever you write is useless. Whatever endeavor you make is useless that way. So, but if one becomes just like Vallabhacharya eventually became repentant. So if one becomes repentant and submissively, humbly approach the Guru, then the sadhus are always very merciful, of course. The sadhus are merciful. But it should be done with sincerity, with the sincerity of heart. You know, with that. So the possibility is there. Okay. Anyway, thank you very much. Grand Rashman Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gopi Manande. Hare Krishna.